Long-haired goats, 6 female, 6 male, 3 pairs of shawls and a horse given in tribute each year, and 75 lakh Nanakshahi rupees up front. In 1846, for that price, Imperial Britain gave possession of Kashmir to Maharaja Gulab Singh. The new ruler made pilgrimages to Amarnath and Haridwar, endowed the Raghunath temple in Jammu, and closed butchers on Dashera and Diwali. He stopped giving alms of rice and oil to the shrine at Aishmukam, while the Jamia Masjid in Srinagar fell into ruins. They sold farmer and cornfield, river and garden. Poet Muhammad Iqbal wrote of the Treaty of Amritsar. They sold a people, and at a price so cheap. Gulab Singh and his heirs plundered the peasants savagely, imposing taxes and forced labor, just like feudal rulers across India. But there was one important difference. Kashmir's rulers were Hindu and their subjects were Muslim. The Delimitation Commission's mapping of electoral constituencies for the Union Territory of Jammu and Kashmir has reopened the communal wounds of that Dogra century. Kashmir's politicians have pointed to the inequity of representation under the new scheme. The Muslim majority province's 68.88 lakh residents, based on the 2011 census, will be represented by 47 legislators, while the Jammu region's 53 lakh people will have almost as many, 43. Even though 34.1% of Jammu's population is Muslim, the region's Muslim majority seats have fallen from 13 to 10. Kashmir has one seat more over its earlier representation. Jammu has got 6. To many in Kashmir, this is evidence that the Bharatiya Janata Party is undermining democracy in a bid to institutionalize Hindu majority rule. Fears like these might be overblown, but the evidence is disquieting. The commission hasn't made public exactly how it arrived at its decision. In public statements, though, it claims to have ensured representation for thinly populated, remote, underdeveloped regions. This principle isn't new. Karna in Kashmir, with a population of just 87,627 people, has long been an assembly constituency. Gurez, with just 37,992 people, was also a constituency. Largely Hindu regions, though, seem to have been disproportionate beneficiaries of the Commission's new decision. Hindu-majority Pader, for example, home to 51,279 residents, has become a new assembly segment. Even though it has similar disadvantages of terrain, largely Muslim Surankot, though, remains a single constituency with 1,88,154 residents. The overwhelmingly Muslim border district of Poonch, which ought to have benefited from the Commission's criteria of protecting vulnerable areas on the line of control, hasn't received an additional constituency. Ramban, with 146,859 residents, over 70% of them Muslim, hasn't got an additional seat either. Kishtwar district, which had 2 Muslim majority assembly seats, now has 3 seats, 2 of them Hindu majority. The adjoining district of Doda, which also had 2 Muslim majority constituencies, similarly now has 2 Hindu majority seats out of 3. Each Lok Sabha constituency is now made up of exactly 18 assembly constituencies. In the case of Anantnag, that led the commission to merge it with Rajouri, a region separated by 100 kilometers of road running from Shopian to Bafliaz, which cuts through 4,000-meter mountain ranges and is closed for several months a year. It is possible the commission, in fact, had a formula that accounts for these oddities, but that formula hasn't been made public. Inevitably, this has fed dangerous communal tensions. For a sense of the depth of communal fissures in Kashmir, the debate must be anchored in history. The identity of the Dogra monarchy, historian Chitralekha Zutshi has shown, was enmeshed with the faith of its rulers, much like Islamic rulers in other princely states of British India, which had Hindu populations. The Dogra kingdom presided over an elaborate network of trusts and institutions devoted to the perpetuation of its Hindu identity. Maharaja Gulab Singh wasn't, at least in any simple sense, a bigot. The colonial adventurer Geoffrey Wynne noted that Jammu was, for a time, and I quote, the only place in Punjab where the mullahs can call the Muslims to prayer. Even Ranjit Singh, the Sikh emperor, Gulab Singh helped the British depose, allowed a degree of religious freedoms within Kashmir. He patronized the shrines of Hazratbal and Makhdoom Sahib, for example. The language of power, though, was distinctly Hindu, as was a significant element of the bureaucracy and landholding class. As the Dogra state sought to legitimize itself through the patronage of Hinduism, historian Mridu Rai has argued, it inexorably sharpened the opposition of its Muslim subjects. Late in the 19th century, however, sweeping land reform also stripped elite Muslims like the Khwaja Naqshbandis of lands they had held for centuries, replacing them with Punjabi and Dogra administrators. From the late 1890s, signs became evident that religion was providing an idiom for Muslim opposition to the monarchy. In Arnia, Muslims denied the right to call out the azan rioted. Rumors of cow slaughter spread, one official account had it, by some sort of wireless telegraphy, proliferated across Kashmir. Shia Muslims also began asserting their identity fiercely. In 1922, for example, mourners demanded that Srinagar's movie theater be closed down to show respect for the month of mourning. The Maharaja denied the request, raising the question of why there were special concessions for Hindu festivals. Walter Lawrence, a British colonial official who served in Kashmir from 1889 to 1894, reported that these tensions were giving so-called Wahhabi preachers legitimacy. The so-called Wahhabis challenged the authority of folk Islamic leaders and notables who acquiesced with Dogra rule. Even early in the last century, though, communal consciousness was not fully formed. In his 1912 poem, The Griznama, the religious revivalist poet Maqbool Shah Kralwadi lamented Kashmir's peasants who, he wrote, I quote, regard the mosque and the temple as equal, seeing no difference between muddy puddles and the ocean. The build-up to independence saw religious polarization sharpen as mass politics gathered momentum. Srinagar's Mirwais Rasool Shah, the grandfather of the current Mirwais Umar Farooq, set up the Anjuman Nasratul Islam in 1899 as a platform for Muslim grievances. Led by Sayyid Hussain Shah Bakhtu, the neo-fundamentalist Jamaat Ahle Hadith also made its appearance at around the same time. Kashmir's pandits, well entrenched in the bureaucracy and relatively affluent, were perhaps inevitably sucked into this conflict. In 1923, for example, a dispute broke out in Srinagar's Mala Khan quarter after claims were made that the construction of a new temple was damaging Muslim graves. From the first decade of the century, communalism gained traction in Kashmir. In 1931, after Dogra troops killed 28 protesters in Srinagar, Hindu-owned businesses and homes were attacked. More communal violence broke out that September, involving mobs which massed with weapons. Even though Kashmir itself saw no partition violence, this violence cast a toxic shadow. There isn't a single Muslim in Kapurthala, Alwar or Bharatpur, independence movement leader and Kashmir's first prime minister, as he was then called, Sheikh Mohammed Abdullah, ruminated. Kashmiris, he added, feared, and I quote, the same fate lies ahead for them too. In one speech, Abdullah claimed that the Jansang-linked Praja Parishad was part of a project to convert India into, and again I quote, a religious state wherein the interests of Muslims will be jeopardized. In the 1963-1964 period, these communal anxieties exploded in the form of anti-India protests after the alleged theft of a religious relic from Hazratbal. 10 years after that, an image of the Prophet Muhammad, drawn in a colonial-era encyclopedia, led to massive riots in Anantnag. Kashmir's religious right wing has capitalized on these chasms. The Jamaat-e-Islami scholar Yoginder Sikand has written, believe that, I quote, a carefully planned Indian conspiracy was at work to destroy the Islamic identity of the Kashmiris. At a March 1987 rally in Srinagar, candidates of the Jamaat-linked Muslim United Front, dressed in the white robes of the pious, declared that Islam could not survive under the authority of a secular state. These strains, scholar Navneeta Behra has shown, polarized entire communities and regions, laying the social foundation for the long, brutal insurgency, which still rages on. Ever since 2008, terrorism levels have remained relatively low. Kashmir, though, has witnessed multiple eruptions of mass violence centered around issues of religious identity. From the 1950s to 1987, Delhi sought to contain these tensions by deepening Kashmir's democracy deficit. It arrested dissident leaders, manipulated politics, and rigged elections. The delimitation process is the latest political exercise that casts questions over India's democracy. It shows that policymakers flail in the face of the Kashmir challenge. I'm Praveen Swamy, and I'm National Security Editor of The Print.